In years gone by, we have all, or perhaps I should say many of us, have sat and listened to the offertory as the speaker relayed facts and figures about the income of the work, the Plain Truth distribution efforts, the number of booklets mailed out, and the number of baptised members attending the feast days or who were the sole members in any given country. The total membership at one time was something to the order of 110,000 people. Well, we cannot do that now, at least not in the same format as was once done. This work is, we believe, the work that has been set before the church by Almighty God. It is running websites from which people are able to access a whole range of written and spoken material which has been left to us by Mr. Armstrong. The church broadcasts via the internet the weekly Sabbath service and also the Holy Day services, all of which are available to be downloaded from the web pages. Taped sermons are mailed out weekly from the United Kingdom and also the United States to destinations around the world. Mr. Armstrong's writings and sermon transcripts are being translated into an African language and also into an Indian language. Additionally, now we find that there is a need for a similar effort in the Spanish language. Our pastor, Mr. Bowles, has had to make many journeys to Africa and also to Canada and the United States. And there is a growing need for him to visit other faraway places. This work is being financed by the faithful giving and tithes and offerings from the members of this disparate band of willing helpers. And so today it is my purpose to bring to our attention the commandment given by God through his servant Moses millennia ago. Now I'd like you to turn with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 16. In the pair of verses that we're about to read, we will see that we're required to present ourselves before God and also that we're not to come before God empty-handed. So Deuteronomy chapter 16, and we'll begin in verse 16 and read verse 17 as well. So Deuteronomy 16, verse 16. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Eternal your God, which he has given you. We have, hopefully, already decided the level of offering we are able to give without subjecting ourselves or our dependents to hardship. This is not a time to say that any particular sums of money are dedicated to the temple use to the detriment of our loved ones. It is, however, a time to think seriously about our financial priorities. Do we really want to be part of a work that is trying to faithfully place the Word of God before as large an audience as the limited funds of the Church of God in Wales will allow? In the second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 9, the Apostle Paul makes 2 important points. One concerns the amount, and the other the way in which that amount is given. It is the attitude in which something is given that decides whether the gift is acceptable, and also whether it is given in a worthy manner. If we give our gift unworthily, that is, in a manner which is begrudging the gift, simply giving because we feel that we are compelled to, that will make the offering unacceptable to God. On the other hand, a desire to give more than we have decided upon, but which is constrained by our financial circumstances, is an attitude to which we should aim. So if we read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Basically, it does not matter whether we are able to give a king's ransom or a widow's mite, or anything in between, so long as it is given in the right attitude, in a cheerful attitude, in an attitude of wanting to give. In the final analysis, the Church of God in Wales will cease to be able to operate if the income falls below its expenses for any length of time. It is a small band of people who have joined together to faithfully endeavour to do a work ordained by God. And in the second chapter of Luke, in verse 49, Jesus, as a young lad, told his human parents, and that was Joseph and Mary, that he had to be about his father's business. Since Jesus is now the captain of our salvation, we need to be about his father's business too. This is because Jesus acknowledges us as his brethren, and God looks upon us as his future children, that they both hope will qualify to be raised to that honour of the children of God in the future. Now, Luke chapter 2 and verse 49 reads as follows. Now he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Now, brethren, it is the time for us to be about our Father's business. It is a tremendous honour to have been called to participate in this work. Let's make sure that the work can be done through the vehicle that is being used today. We must remember that there is a time coming when the word spoken by Jesus and recorded in the ninth chapter of John that tell us about the time when the work will no longer be able to be done. There is a time that there will be a famine of the word that was prophesied by Amos. And that, for reference, is Amos 8, verse 11. But here the Apostle John records for us the awesome words of Christ, who during his earthly life did do his Father's business. John chapter 9 and verse 4 reads as follows. I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night comes when no man can work. Now, indeed, there is going to be a time when the work will not be able to be done because of the constraints of either politics or the terrible confusion that's going to be upon the earth. But as Mr. Bowles referred this morning to Matthew chapter 24 and verse 46, as Jesus said, Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he comes, will find so doing. So, brethren, let's be about our Father's work. Now it is our opportunity to be part of that work. And whilst the offering is being taken up, we will hear Psalm 23, The Eternal is My Shepherd, set to music by Mr. Jonathan Bowles, and sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson.